Welcome to the Free Refills podcast, where we talk about the realities of leading in youth ministry. Our hope is that you leave refreshed, refueled, and re-energized to go about in your ministry. My name is Wayne Morgan. I'm here with Johnny Radcliffe, and we have a special guest today.
Now, if you are a regular listener, you're going to realize that today is a little different. We're doing this in one take. I know it's anarchy, right? One take. And what we got here, we have Charlie Condor. And Charlie, can you just explain what you do in ministry? What is your context? Where are you in the country? What projects are you tackling? Let's hear the whole thing.
My whole bio, my whole life story right here, right now. Well, my name is Charlie Condor. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have been serving in the United Methodist Church 20 plus years. I was a deaf and hard of hearing teacher for middle school students before I jumped into youth ministry. So I have spent my whole adult life loving students in some capacity. I no longer serve at the local church as a paid youth worker. I get to be a volunteer now, which is a beautiful thing because I work in an organization called Orange, where I'm an Orange student specialist. I also work for an organization called the Youth Cartel, which if you're not familiar with the Youth Cartel, we do coaching and cohorts for youth workers. And so I love being part of those two organizations and get to lead leaders.
Can I say this, Charlotte? I just feel like you're one of the livelier types in my life. You know what I mean? Like, as we were talking about this conversation, I was like, you know, number one, I know Charlie has good insight on this topic. That spoiler alert, I'm not telling you what the topic is yet. Although I guess they have the title.
It's probably anyway, a title.
They know already.
Yeah, podcast.
Yeah, the title gave it away. We're talking about ways to appreciate our volunteers. And I know we've had this conversation before. So I was like, let's get Charlie on the pod. And here she is. Hi, Charlie.
I'm so excited to be here and to be hanging out and talking about volunteers because it's interesting being a volunteer now after you've been a paid youth worker for like 25 years. And so now I get to be a volunteer and I can tell you all the things I dislike now that I used to do.
you know what I noticed is that when you've arrived in youth ministry is when you've been full time, but then you transition to volunteer. Have you noticed that? Like that is a trend. So congratulations, Charlie. That's why you're here.
Full circle.
And we're going to do this pod a little differently today. We're going to kind of have this as like a group think, sort of. Let's be real. That's what this is about. This is what we're refilling, our souls. And we're going to be on the topic of appreciating our volunteers because you know what? They just don't get enough appreciation. Have you ever seen that, Charlie? Charlie hasn't seen this. Have you seen volunteers not get the appreciation they deserve?
I think over and over again. And I think a lot of it starts with how they talk about themselves, right? Because they always say, well, I'm just a volunteer. And I always want to press pause when someone says that to me because you're the heartbeat of ministry. I think as the paid person, we're just the herder, right? And the organizational piece of ministry. But the people who shepherd are the people sitting in the circles with the kids. And it hurts my heart when they say, just a volunteer.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that because, man, if this was all about how awesome the paid person is, we could reach like 10 kids and that's about it. I'm amazed that they're showing up, giving their free time for the sake of others. And also sometimes, you know, little amazed, they're looking to me for some sort of leadership, right? Like, oh, you're willingly working with me. That's crazy. But the idea of them having to give up their time to make this happen with everything else they're juggling, I'm amazed by it. Have you guys ever seen, it's going to sound weird, have you ever seen leaders that are not amazed by it? Have you ever seen the leaders where like, it is a privilege and a right to serve on our team, okay? Have you seen that?
Okay, but I think there's some truth to that though, because it is a privilege to be able to walk with a student and then get to witness what God does in their life. Like that is actually a really big privilege. And I think that's why people sacrifice their family and their free time to show up and to be in our spaces.
Exactly. That is true. But have you seen the leader that's like, this is such a privilege that this must be the only thing in your life and it must always take preeminence?
That would be the next podcast, the not self-aware leader.
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah. Well, and it's like every professor in college, right? The only homework that I'm giving you is the homework that I have assigned for you. So there is a little bit of an unrealistic expectation that we can get. So we're hoping this conversation will, if you're in that space where you don't see other people's lives, we're hoping that it just kind of makes you a little bit more aware and that you have a little compassion for that person that comes in all frazzled as a volunteer. You're like, man, why can't they get their stuff together? But the reality is they're dedicating their time and probably have outlived you as the professional.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. And I tell you what, so we talk a lot about ministry burnout. It's a real thing.
Mm.
But there is such a thing as ministry burnout for volunteers as well.
Yeah.
And there are volunteers who just contribute so much and they continue to pour in. And the question for us leaders is, how are we pouring into them so they have full buckets that they can pour into others? And I know, Charlie, you've had some experience with burnout. We've mentioned this before.
Yes, personally, as a leader. Yes.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was serving in a pretty medium to small size mainline denominational church. I was at that role for almost 15 years. And we went from 5 kids to 50 kids to 100 kids to 200 to 275. And that's just middle school, not counting high school. And I really sacrificed my family on the altar of building a ministry. And it manifests itself in a very physical way in my body. And I got really sick. And I had to step away from everything that I loved because I wasn't ready to leave. Please know that. I think people hear my story and they're like, well, she gets to do this, this, and this. But I wasn't ready to leave. I was forced to leave because of the choices I made as a leader. I wasn't a bad leader. I was an incredible leader. I still am an incredible leader. I just made choices, though, to put the ministry in front of everything else. And I just worked for God for way too long. And I didn't spend time with God. And I just lost a lot of my soul in that.
At what space did you recognize the for God and the with God? Was that through an awareness? What brought that to the forefront for you?
Yeah, one of my mentors, he goes away every year for like 3 days alone, doesn't cook, like does this whole like in the wilderness moment. And so I went away and realized I hadn't read the word for me in probably 7 to 10 years. I always read the word for sermons, for devos. I'd never read it just to hear what God was speaking to me. And I sat there in this moment going, guys, I've made a mistake. Like everything is off kilter, not because of 275 kids in a church that maybe has 400 people in it. That's not what's off kilter. It's not off kilter because I don't see my husband anymore. It's not off kilter because I've missed third and fourth grade in my daughter's life. It's off kilter because I haven't been with God. And it is so hard to admit that I had not opened the Bible to read it for myself in that many years, but y'all know what it's like. Everything that you're reading, you're like, oh, sermon illustration. Oh, I should go back and research that because that would teach so well. We do it all the time. And when I'm coaching young leaders, I'm like, I need for you to schedule. And I really do. I mean, put it in your phone, write Sabbath in your away message. And I need for you to go be with God. Now I have ADHD. So quiet time with God it's kind of hard. I was going to say a lot of things. It is super hard for me to be quiet and it's super quiet. It's super hard for me just to be still.
Hmm.
But those spiritual practices have helped me become whole again.
I love that. That's so good. I appreciate you sharing it too. So transparently, it's gotta be hard to say, but also like, I agree. Like just today. Okay. Driving in my car, I'm listening to a sermon. Aren't I holy? Well, I picked this sermon because of what I was talking to another teen about. And I was like, oh, maybe this will help them. I'm like, wow. So as you're speaking, I'm doing some own inventory of my soul as well.
But you know what? You say that I'm embarrassed about it. First of all, I need it for everybody to know I'm embarrassed that I have got to that point in my life. But also, I think we all do it nonstop. And I think when you're not admitting it, that's the hard thing, right? That everything we're doing is preparing for the next thing that we're supposed to be doing. And it's our call. So it's all part of our call and it's all holy and it's what we're supposed to be doing. And the reality is, like, we've dismissed our own spiritual practices while we're trying to lead our volunteers and our students in spiritual practices.
That makes
a lot
of
sense. It's my hot take. It's my hot take today. That's
Well, and here's the thing too. So because you've experienced that and because you've, I call it the Martha complex. I have it too, right? Like my dad talks about this story all the time where Martha is the one going around serving the Lord, but not sitting at his feet like Mary did. And I wonder too, if part of our job is to help our leaders make sure that they're in the Martha, or I'm sorry, not pulling a Martha, that they're actually sitting at Jesus's feet first. And those experiences of dryness that you've experienced, I'm sure are informing the ministry that you have to your volunteer leaders, to leaders across the nation.
I think it's a big piece of how I coach leaders. I think it's a big piece of, like, when I'm writing to help train volunteers to be able to add spiritual practices to that. Because the reality is, I think for me as a leader, I grew with my kids. And I think that happens with all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Our own spiritual walk deepens as we lead kids and lead adults, right? So I want that to happen for my volunteers. I want them to have life-changing moments at camp, just like kids are having life-changing moments at camp. That also might be a hot take, because some people may want these volunteers that are like these really deep spiritual people, but at the same time, I want someone who just listens well and can love well, because I think the other pieces all fall into place.
Yeah, when you're walking with somebody and they're growing together, like, that's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And the mentor learn from the mentee. Mm-hmm. Like, there's such a beautiful life that comes about when a small group leader says, man, I'm learning so much from my kids. And like, there's development, they're learning culture. And so in that process where you're thinking about, like, we just talked about burnout a little bit, like, what are some of the ways that you kind of, I'm sure you, as you interact with leaders, you can kind of sense burnout. What are some of those warning signs, as if we have volunteer youth leaders, or if we have leaders who are leading volunteer teams, what are some of those spaces that you go, man, this person might be getting close to needing some spiritual refreshment? What are some of those warning signs that you see as from your experience?
I think you see the have to in their eyes instead of the want to, right? Like, it becomes really apparent that this is, well, I signed up, so I have to do this, versus, oh man, I really want to be here. When they don't engage anymore and stay curious with their students, so they're always assuming about the students instead of staying curious and being active listeners, right? And when those things start to shift, and as a good leader, we should be paying attention to that, because then that's a time to take that volunteer to lunch and check in with them, maybe give them some time off. I'm a big believer in giving time off to volunteers, like massive amounts of time off. I know. Is that a hot take too? It's just hot take, Charlie. Hot takes with Charlie.
I think you just dropped something there that people are like, no, I'm not doing that at all. Like, speak into that a little bit, because I hear youth ministries taking summers off. I'll be honest, I even go, oh, I don't know if we should do that. But
Charlie, the devil doesn't Sabbath? Take off. Neither should we. Okay. Like, let's get real about this warfare that we're in. No, there's
Sabbath
no rest.
For a volunteer, they'll never come back. Like,
exactly.
I think we need to lean into that a little bit.
Don't give them a taste of freedom. They'll take it and run.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. But that's the key to retention, is showing how much you care for your leaders. And because I care about you. So, okay. So for me, primarily as a youth worker, We run August to the end of April, 1st of May as our big midweek experience, right? That's the 275 middle schoolers showing up. That's like the big night, right? When we have all of our small group leaders. I'm asking you to show up every night, and I'm asking you to show up for 4 years. Some of my leaders show up all the way from sixth grade to 12th grade. So when you sign up, you're not signing up for a 1 year commitment. I need you for 3 years in middle school, 5 years in high school, right? So this is a big commitment, but these are the months in which you serve, and then you have time off. Now, I don't take the summer off in youth ministry, but what I do is tap into different volunteers, right? I don't have a lot of parents that serve during the school year. Right? I tap into a lot of the 55, 65 and older crowd. Now that's also a hot take because my best volunteers are like in their 70s. And that's a beautiful thing because they have time, they have, and they know how to love well. And the reality is if they're over it, they just turn off their hearing aids. So we allow that to happen.
Are we allowed to say that?
Wait, yeah, we have for to sure. That?
On those lines, the generational gap is a huge need of this generation. There aren't a lot of parental figures, you know, consistently across the board. I have two parents at home, or grandparents are in my life. So they get to fill that void. Yeah, never underestimate the non-20-something-year-old volunteer.
Hi, I'm a mom of two 25-year-old girls. You could maybe get them to show up consistently once or twice a month. That's it. Because they're so swamped with trying to figure out life, I wouldn't use them as volunteers. I just don't think that that's the quality that I'm looking for. They're great humans. They're super fun. They know how to make a TikTok, okay? But so does George. Just teach George how to make a TikTok and he'll be in it with you. So I don't know. I think there's some things, but also I think let's go back to giving time off. When you give someone time off, it shows that you value who they are as a person, you value their time, and you value their family. In ministry, we talk about all the time about caring for the family, partnering with parents. And then we're asking them to be there at the ball field, at church, they're then back at small group. So we're doing all these things that don't value the family. Hot take. It does hurt, but it's real. So I think for me, as a leader, I really want my volunteers to know that I care and love for them. And one of the ways that I do that is to give them time off, like real rest.
Yeah. And you were talking about a 4-year commitment. So obviously this is something that you have
thought out. It's 5 years if you're in high school. It's five if you're a high school leader. Yeah.
So is this just a conversation that you have over coffee that you assume that they will remember, or do you have like written expectations? Yeah. Like how clear are you when you are recruiting people or when they have a question about helping out with youth group? Like how much of a thought process has gone into this? Because it sounds like it's pretty well thought out.
Yeah, it's job descriptions. Everyone has a personnel file folder in my office. We do evaluations, both me of you and you of me. It's a two-way street. I ask for 1 year when you're a very first volunteer, because at that end of the year, I'm going to evaluate you and you're going to evaluate the ministry. Because for you to stay for the long haul, it's got to be a good fit.
Yeah, you can have that if it's not you, it's me thing. Okay, cool.
Of course. But my husband, of course, was like a middle school volunteer. And at the end of sixth grade, he was like, absolutely not. Nope, not happening. Just wasn't, not his jam. But he ended up taking a group of high schoolers and walking with them for 5 years and loved it. Right. And it's just finding the right space. Because here's the thing, we want our adults to grow in their faith too. Right. And but that's not going to happen if they're showing up every week with a bunch of sixth graders that they're like, I can't, I just cannot with these kids, right? We want someone to show up to see the quirkiness, to see the weirdness and embrace it and love them. And they're not going to do that if it's not the right fit. So yeah, so middle school is a 3-year commitment. High school is always 5. We ask you to take the last year. I'm a small group leader. I've had the same kids since they were in sixth grade. They're 30 this year. They still come to my house for dinner on Sundays. They bring their kids. We've married them. Like, they're a beautiful group and they're like my own kids.
Oh my word. I love that so much.
for the church that has, you've walked through the different phases. So for the church that's like, all we have is 15 or 20 kids.
That's great.
I know a lot of youth ministries, the majority of youth ministries are that size.
Yeah, mine was, my last church was that size. My current church is even smaller. We have like maybe 50 people on a Sunday morning. So our youth group is like 7 kids.
Sure.
But if I'm the leader, they still need a small group leader.
Yeah.
Right? Like I still need someone that can show up in spaces and coffee shops and ball games and the dreaded choir. Listen, the bane of my existence is a choir concert at the middle school. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I still need someone to show up because if I'm on staff at a church, I have other roles and I can't always be there. So they still need a small group leader in their life. I have adult children, right? And it's been so interesting because I was their youth pastor, which it's really hard to youth pastor your own kids, but I didn't have to because we had great adults in the life of our kids. And still today, Angela is my kids person. If something is sideways in her life, the first person she calls is Angela. Mm-hmm. When she met Angela, Angela wasn't married. Angela has one of her daughters. She gave her my daughter's middle name because they're that tight.
Wow.
Right? And like, what an honor for my own kid to see an adult that loves and cares for her so deeply that she would give her own child my daughter's middle name, Faye. Wow. So anyway, right? So that's a game changer because at 25, my kid doesn't go to church. Like she shows up maybe once every 6 months, but she also works on Sundays. So there's that. But I don't worry about her walk because she's still got these incredible adults who take her out to lunch, who call and text her and be like, just checking in with her, right? It's like the sneaky Jesus just showing up in all the moments that you never expected him to be. And that's what happens when you find really great adults and you love them and you lead them well, they'll still love and lead your own students.
Man, that's so good. It sounds like you got an amazing tribe there. And I know that's by intention and design. And you're starting to, you're living in the fruits of it. That's fantastic.
Okay, but come on. You've all had to fire hard volunteers though too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
yeah. Okay.
This won't surprise you, probably. I err on the side of grace and optimism. But there was one that even I was like, you know what? This ain't the military. You're not cut out for this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can fill in the rest. Just a little, too straight laced, we'll say.
But I think that has to be the encouragement for leaders because while it can work and be really beautiful, it can be really hard and messy, right? When a ministry is growing, when a ministry is like in this, like, weird stage, not all the kids, but some of the kids. And like, there's this weird, you know, outsider kids are coming into the church kids. And now there's this tension, like, well, this was my church. Who are you? You know, all these things that we've experienced and then leading leaders in the midst of that. It's not easy. It's beautiful if you can stay with it. And I think being in ministry for 25 years allows me to give this perspective of beautiful ministry. But to your listeners who are 25 and it's their first church, you got to stay with it, right? Because those relationships don't happen in 1 year. They don't happen in 3 years. We need for you to be here longer so that you can see the fruit of these relationships.
Yes, absolutely. We are all about longevity. It needs to happen. So let's do this. With our time remaining, I'm putting you guys on the spot. Okay, we're just going to go like bit by bit, okay? So we're going to start with me, and then we'll go Charlie, and then Wayne. We are going to idea dump ways to appreciate your leaders. We already have days off, but we're just going to be like full pressure, put you on the spot. What are some ideas of things we can do to appreciate leaders? And I'm not going to lie. All of mine are probably stolen ideas from other people. Let's be real. From the Facebook groups, all of those
That's
things.
That's so good.
So I'm going to go first. And here we go. This one's completely stolen. Idea for loving your volunteers well. An all-access coffee and snack bar at a retreat. Come on now. Have you guys ever seen this? So I spoke at an event that did this and I was like, this is brilliant. It's available for them the whole time. It's a quiet place, no kid allowed. they can come in and get cold brew, like homemade cold brew, and like the Keurig, all the candy, all you could want, tasty cakes. Charlie, do you know what tasty cakes are?
Of course.
Okay, just checking. You know, I know it's a Philly thing, but they were tasty cakes. Like, it was amazing. So if you're on a retreat, create an all-access 24/7 safe haven for your leaders. Charlie, I pass the talking bear to you.
Great. So when you are coming back from a retreat, the best way to love those leaders who have had sleepless nights on those retreat is when they get off the bus, the grandmas at your church have prepared a casserole that's warm and ready for them to take home to their families to eat dinner with their families.
Oh my word, that is so good. Wow.
Okay. Everyone loves a Christian casserole. And I love being able to surprise families that when they're so tired and they got to go home to their own people. Nah, we got you. We got you a warm grandma casserole right here. It's so good. And they feel so valued when you show up like that.
Oh my word, that's so good. Actually, I'm going to amend the rules. Ready? We're going to go Wayne, then we're going to go back to Charlie, and then me back to Charlie. Okay? We're going to like double time Charlie's ideas, okay? Okay. Wayne, what do you got?
She is the expert. That's why she's here. So
exactly.
You know, I'm going to go old school and mail them a $5 gift card, because who uses mail anymore? You know, it's like, why in the world would you do that? But if you give them, mail them a $5 gift card, a lot of the time it comes into the mail that's so unexpected. Don't do it around a birthday or anything like that. And just give them something that they really shocks them. For me, I think the mail system is one of those like archaic things that you can once in a while really surprise people with.
I like it.
I love mail, Wayne.
Yeah.
Love mail. I might own a greeting card company for youth workers, but you know, it's.
I was going to say, Charlie, can you tell people about that? Because it's so good.
Yeah.
And we're going to put the link in the description so you can click on it and you can buy it. Like, I have used these. Can you please explain?
Great. Yeah. I love snail mail, and all my years of ministry, there wasn't everything that I needed. So during COVID, when I had time, I developed Charlie Cards, and it's a line of greeting cards specifically for youth workers. So we do everything from when you get your wisdom teeth removed to when you make decisions at camp. And then we have lots of volunteers, and they all come with confetti. So there's that.
Isn't there one where your dog dies?
Yes, or hamster. Yeah, because we've all prayed for somebody's hamster religiously, right? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
We call it the pet sympathy card. Okay, so I have a really great idea, because volunteers take the cake. So at Christmas time, have little bitty cakes or a slice of cake made for all your volunteers, and then I need you to drive it to their house. Here's why. When you drive it to their house, they're going to invite you in to show you all their Christmas decor. They're so excited about their home being decorated for Christmas. And when you show up with something sweet, they may offer you a cup of coffee. And it's this really beautiful relational time with your volunteer. And it's a little bit of effort, because if you have 47 small group leaders, you're driving to 47 small group leaders' house. But the thought of showing up at their doorstep and loving them right where they are, not asking them to come to anything or do anything, you show up at their house, that's a win.
That's
man. I'm just thinking about this. We expect our small group leaders to show up in our students' lives. Why isn't this like an intrinsic thing that we do on a regular basis? Go show up at their work and just be like, yo, what's up? Like, man, it's low hanging fruit. I can't believe it. That's great.
So good. I guess it's my turn here. So this is just going to sound like I'm stealing from Charlie, but the surprise day off. Okay, so this is what I've done before, especially for like couples. So you all have couples that serve as a team. Well, one night, surprise, like get one of them in on the secret to surprise the other person with, we're not going to youth group tonight. We're going out for dinner. And it is, nice. So that night of going out to serve has just been a sneak attack date night.
I was going to say, you might want to let the type A leader know that they're going to be off, because they will probably be mad at you.
What do you mean? I think it sounds delightful. I love surprises.
Yep, you do.
Yeah, fill my wife in on the idea if you do this for me, okay? That's just standard practice. Charlie, back to you.
Yeah. So who doesn't love a trophy? I went to a trophy shop one time and they were throwing away all the ones that were the mistakes or whatever. And they gave them to me. And then I made up funny awards and had plates put on them. And then we had this huge ceremony where I rented a red carpet and like rolled it out. And then my volunteers were like, what's happening? And I made them walk the red carpet to get their trophies. And it was so funny because I've had leaders who, y'all, they got more money than and a house and all the things. And then they're putting up this little trophy that was probably, I think it was a bowling trophy, but it had like youth ministry leader of the year or something on it, right? And like small group leader of the year. But these people were taking pictures of these trophies on their mantles. And it was so funny. But y'all, when you like pause to give a celebration, so good.
Yeah, all I can I'll think jump. About is The Office right there with the Dundies. Like, yeah. You just did the Dundies. That's perfect.
Yes.
And I'll piggyback off of that because I didn't have any budget. So I went to the dollar store and picked up like picture frames and printed off a certificate with something silly on it. And they loved that. It was like I put the logo of the church and the logo of the youth ministry and then had a certificate and I signed it and handed it to them. And that's still on some people's in some people's living rooms today. And I'm like, that was a 12-cent thing. It wasn't even something expensive.
Amazing.
Okay, I got another one. Are you ready?
All right, let's hear it. Yes.
So I had the small groups each holding a word from Philippians 1:13. And then I took a picture of them and I put it in a picture frame and gave it to their volunteers. And so they had a picture of their small group. And it just says, we thank God every time we think of you. And it's so simple. And then it was something great where they had a picture of their kids that they were serving. And it was just a beautiful moment for our volunteers. This is so easy. This is like a dollar store trip, right?
Yeah.
Like super simple to do a picture of your kids holding a verse and then sending it to your volunteers.
That is so good. Is your love language gifts? Be honest.
It's not.
Okay.
I'm words of affirmation, but I think that kind of lends to it sometimes. I just know that when I do a job well done, I would like to be acknowledged for it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like everybody else wants that too, whether they really do or not. I'm going to show up with a cake at your doorstep. So regardless, I'm going to be there because I think you want me there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But well, Charlie, right now you're crushing it, Charlie. Just keep going. So
yeah, I was going to say, okay, let's keep it going.
But y'all, I don't want to recruit. I only ever want to recruit for sixth graders. I want my volunteers to stay and I want them to be involved in the life of our kids. And so the more I do these weird and wacky things, I think it matters. It's what is the key to retention, honestly. Also, can I give another one?
Absolutely.
Your small group leaders, I think making them their own small group. Like having a Bible study just for those people, taking them bowling just for those people. Like it's like it's a youth group within a youth group. And the reason that matters is because I can't be everywhere at every place, right? But then they begin to care for each other. And when Janet knows that Bobby's sick and makes them a Christian casserole and shows up, y'all, that is team. And that team mentality is what keeps people in ministry.
Love it.
Yeah, I was actually reading that there's like three basic levels that people volunteer. And I'm learning this because I've been running this youth group and I was supposed to be there for 3 months to coach them. And I'm going in 4 years as the point guy now after firing a couple people and people moving away. So I'm like relearning this. But anyways, I don't even go to the church. I go there Sunday nights to run the youth group. That's a collaboration between multiple churches.
I love that.
It's complicated. I followed Johnny's example, but so I'm learning about volunteers and like some of them just want to be a part of a team, like the affiliation, like that what you do is cool. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And then some want to be recognized by achievement. Like, so you have to recognize them. Like we have everybody that did the Enneagram. We've got threes. They're volunteers just to get recognized, you know? And then some of them want power. You want to fire them quick. But because they
Hey, I'm an eight. That's usually me.
Okay, so speak to that. When I think of a power volunteer, I'm like, that's the guy you don't want playing capture the flag, you know, or how do you manage a power volunteer? I guess as I looked over that list, I was like, all right, how do you manage somebody who's seeking like a little bit more power, a little bit more control?
But don't you think serving with students is a very humbling experience?
For
because
sure.
No one can like knock you down faster than a seventh grade girl with an attitude. Okay. Uh-huh. That sass, right? I don't know. I think there's something about serving that even the most eight person in the world becomes humbled when they're with a student who's trying to figure life out.
Yeah. Well, and as I was reading through that, it was a very secular way of doing it. And I was like, I think we're missing the last one. It's that call. Mm-hmm. Like the call isn't just for the professional youth worker. The call, man, there's something sacred about I'm taking my time out of my schedule to invest spiritually in students. I think that that's something that requires a special amount of stewardship and a special amount of care. And I think that's why this conversation is so vitally important.
I think sometimes people don't know that they have the call in them, because I've invited people into ministry that I've been praying and praying about and finally get them to say yes after year three of like talking to them, because I believed so deeply in my soul that they were meant to lead students, like that they had it and they didn't know that they had it. And I believed so deeply and prayed so much to get this person, because I just recognized it. And I think as leaders, we need to be open to seeing leadership in other people and then inviting them in so that they can discover their call, right?
And I think that is what it all comes down to, is the call. All of this comes, like, there are grander things. If you're in a power struggle type part of life, you're probably not doing youth ministry, right? Like if you're here to run the thing, you're not doing youth ministry. If you're not a patient person, you're not doing youth ministry. You're here because you care about teens. Now, as we are the leaders listening to this, it is our job to help the people who care about teens last longer, help them be refreshed, help them feel appreciated, and to help them stack years on years of serving these amazing teenagers that we get to work with.
Yeah, Charlie, as you were talking, I was like, man, that's exactly what we do with youth ministry. We see something in students and we call it out. And I think for us to not recognize as the leader of volunteers that we have a similar role to say, hey, what if you're designed for this? And mm-hmm. I've heard it said, you know, teenagers don't know what they don't know until an adult speaks truth and life into them. And maybe we just needed, the whole purpose for this conversation was to remind leaders that maybe you're the person in that person's life, that volunteer's life, to call them to a new level of leadership that they don't even see in themselves. So thank you for your encouragement here today. Do you have anything last that you want to close out with? Any words of wisdom to like say, hey, this is when you're thinking about volunteers, don't forget this.
I would say if you're a youth worker listening, I believe that your role, regardless of church size, if you're at a 1,000-person church or if you're at a 50-person church, I really believe our role is to help develop leaders to love students. Because at the end of the day, as a youth worker, it's a job for us, and we may be called to a different place, but those adults are really permanent in that church and that congregation. And so teaching them to lead and love well, I think, is the main role as a youth worker.
So good. So thanks, Charlie, for joining us today for our conversation about how to care for volunteers. If you are listening to this and you like this podcast, please like it. You can subscribe to it. You can share it with somebody. You can tag Johnny and let him know that you like his beard and that you're glad he's from Philadelphia.
Please
do. I don't
know
what you're going to do. So yeah.
I need encouragement too. Come on now. I'm a youth leader.
Charlie isn't the only words of affirmation person here. Johnny also is as well. So
I'm thirsty for words, guys. Let's be real.
So thanks so much for joining us here with the Free Refills podcast. We want to remind you to find a network of youth workers, find somebody locally that you can grab coffee with, have a conversation with, to be encouraged, because we don't want you to be just refilled by stuff digitally. We want you to sit toe to toe, knee to knee with somebody and say, yep, you're not alone. Till next time, we will see you here at the Free Refills podcast. Is that okay?
That's all right. Good.